Africana, your non-stop entertainment radio.
Raise your voice and shout, come on.
As the song says, I've decided to follow Jesus. I hope that's a decision that you have made as well. And if you haven't, I encourage you to decide to follow Jesus. And no turning back, no turning back. Let us pray. Father, my God, we just thank you. We praise you. We give you all the glory. We worship you. We adore you. There is none like thee, O Lord. Who can compare to thee? When we think of the goodness of Jesus and all that you have done for us, our very soul shouts, Hallelujah! Praise God for saving us from our own thinking, saving us from our own belief system, saving us from our limitations, saving us, Father and my God, in ways that we cannot even imagine. Father and my God, King of Kings, we thank you. Lord, we know in this season you're taking us from one level to another level. Father, my God, you are taking us deeper in you and to higher heights in you. Father and my God, we thank you. Adonai, we praise you. King of Kings, we worship you. You are so good. You are so good. We will never turn back. Father and my God, Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you. We commit this time into your hands. We commit everything into you. Our thinking, our belief system, everything. We just give it to you. We give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a commitment. You know, for all that. You know, we really have to think what God has done for us. What Jesus sacrificed on the cross. And sometimes we can get a bit complacent. You know, I've said a few weeks ago that sometimes we think we have time. You know, I'm going to commit in a time. You know, when I'm older, I'm going to commit. When I'm, you know, when I'm in my 20s, when I'm in my 30s, when I'm in my 50s, when I'm in my 60s. No one is promised tomorrow. So you don't know the length. And sometimes you think, oh no, I'm gonna live, but no one is actually promised tomorrow. We do not know what tomorrow is gonna bring. So we have to choose this day, as the scripture says, who we're gonna serve. I want you to choose. Wherever you are, choose. Make a commitment. Now, when I was thinking of that word commitment, we wouldn't say a friend is committed friend if we never heard from them. If it was like once every 3 or 4 years, would we then say they're a friend? Would we then say we know about them? A friendship is committed if you speak regularly, maybe even every now and then meet if you're in different parts of the world. Sometimes it's not possible, sometimes it's possible. You say there's communication. There's something, you know what's going on, sharing information. That's why you say there's a commitment. Now, someone that's in your, you know, a close friendship, you might talk or message on a regular basis, if not even every day, you know. If not even every day. There's some people that every week I speak to, some people every day I speak to, some people about 3 times a week I speak to. There's a commitment because you have to spare your time. You know, we have to spare time to invest, message, communicate, get in touch. Find out how they're doing. Find out how they find out how you're doing. Sharing. Even asking opinions on things. That's a commitment. Now, sometimes we commit. We say we're committed. But we're to a relationship, to a friendship. But we're not. Because we're not sharing information. We're not communicating. We, like ships, sometimes in the night, you can be in the same postcode as someone and not communicate. Now, some of you might say, well, I say good morning, I say good afternoon, good evening, No, communication is more than good morning, good afternoon, good evening. It's finding out how that person's doing. They find out how you're doing. You're sharing something about your day, about your moments. There's a touching base. There's communication happening on a depth. Now, there's some people I communicate with. It's on a high. Hello, how are you? You okay? And really mean okay, but there's some things I won't divulge. And there's some people I'll divulge a lot to. So we have, even in that communication, we have a level of commitment. Now, I say this all to say, because sometimes we wonder, right, I have decided to follow Jesus, but I want you to reflect in the levels of communication, you know, which one that I've shared, which one are you connecting with? What level with Jesus? So is it that it's once a year, twice a year, there's a communication, there's a dialogue? Is it on a weekly basis, a monthly basis, every other day, every day? What level of communication? Now, I know that I'm taking back to some of the friendships I have that we communicate every maybe 3 months or so. There's not as much communication as the ones every month. Not as much communication as the ones every week. Not as much as communication as the ones every day. So I want us to really evaluate what the communication style is with our Lord Jesus. What is your communication with the Lord? Are you once a month? Are you every other month? Are you twice a year? Once a year? Are you on an every day, every other day, once a week? What's your level of communication? And we did say effective communication is where you share. Share what's on your heart. Share what's on your mind. Share what is going on. But also listen. Because it's not a monologue. You're not going to the Lord. It's not like a post box. You're posting your letter of communication and then you're off you go. You have to wait for receiving. And sometimes it's hard. It's hard to know. How do I receive the communication? So I want to put it this way. You know, sometimes you might leave someone on WhatsApp a voice note, but they then might message you. They might send you a message. You might leave a voice note. They might leave you a message. Sometimes people send a picture. Sometimes then people send. That is communication. So sometimes with the Lord, as you have gone to Him in prayer, voiced your concerns, thanked Him for what's gone on and going on and things, put in your petition of what you'd like and to see, you know, things that you're concerned that baffle you and boggle your mind, He can send you a scripture. He can send you a message. Someone might, you might hear a message and it's just, you know, that it's actually for you. It might be a case of you hear an audible voice. It might be a vision. But you've got to keep yourself open to be, to receive. Now, it might not work for everybody, but what I'm trying to do in moments where, and aspects of my job where I think I can actually multitask, I have a message playing in the background. I have maybe a song playing just so it can be feeding my spirit man and leaving myself open to what the Lord might be saying in my here and now. And so I encourage you, and some of you might think that's not possible, but as you're going to work, going to school, going wherever you're going, as you're coming back, there's all that time. There's all that time. Just commit it to God. Commit the time. Commit. Ask the Lord to speak to you. He will. And that is communication. That is communication. Now, I just want to share regarding 2 Corinthians 5. 2 Corinthians 5. And it says, from verse 11. Let's read from verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5 from verse 1. For we, in the NIV version, it's awaiting a new body. For we know that if the earthly tent we live in is destroyed, we have a building from God, an eternal house in heaven, not built by human hands. Meanwhile, we groan, longing to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling. Because when we are clothed, we will not be found naked. For while we are in this tent, we groan and are burdened, because we do not wish to be unclothed, but to be clothed instead with our heavenly dwelling, so that what is mortal may be swallowed up by life. Now the one who has fashioned us for this very purpose is God, who has given us the Spirit as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Therefore, we are always confident and know that as long as we are at home in the body, we are away from the Lord. For we live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. So we make it our goal to please Him, whether we are at home in the body or away from it. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, so that each of us may receive what is due for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. I'm going to read another translation, Passion Translation, and this one says living by faith. But one of the things I want to actually it says in verse 7, for we live by faith and not by sight. We are confident, I say, and would prefer to be away from the body and at home with the Lord. We live by faith and not by sight. You know, it says faith is a substance of things hoped for, evidence not seen. It's what you're believing that will be made manifest in the physical, but there's no evidence of it. You're believing. What is it that you're believing God for? You're believing to be married. There's no evidence of it. You're believing to have a child, but there's no evidence of it. You're believing for a job, but there's no evidence of it. You're believing to pass the course, but there's no evidence of it. You're believing, but there's no evidence. So evidence can be that there's no sign, you know, so there's no ring on your finger to getting married. There is no even an intended There is no, you know, you don't know you're pregnant. You may not have known that you're pregnant. There's no evidence. You're believing for a child. There's no child as yet. All these things is what we call evidence. But faith is a substance. Faith brings into reality a substance of things hoped for, evidence not seen. And we are told here, we live by faith and not by sight. Can you say that is your case? Or do you wait? Are you, you know, doubting Thomas? We call him Doubting Thomas because he said he was not going to believe unless he saw the scars in Jesus' hands to know that Jesus, you know, had risen. Is that how you are with aspects? We are encouraged. We are encouraged to believe even though there's no evidence of it. I remember when I was believing to have was standing and believing, and I thought, Lord, fasted, prayed and believing for, you know, the worship leader, as I like to, our second child, and believe, and there was no evidence. There was no evidence. And a word came, the communication came. And I thought, okay, I grabbed hold of the communication. I thought, right, this is it. And then the opposite happened. I thought, I wept. I couldn't understand. But I refused to let go of that word. And hence the result, clearly we can see the worship leader is here. So you have to believe even when the evidence is saying opposite, because God is able to do exceedingly abundantly beyond what we can imagine or think according to his purpose. It's his purpose. It's his purpose. But do you know what his purpose is? Sometimes what we think is his purpose is our, what we want to do. His purpose. He directs us like a course of a river. Now, you know, in all my days, years of, I've never known a river to run in a straight line. You know, and some of you might be thinking, but it refers to that he directs us like a course of a river. And if a river doesn't run in a straight line, that means there'll be twists and turns in our life. But we've got to trust and believe him. What twist and turn are you at the moment? Where are you thinking, oh, you've arrived, you've made, but what more does God have in store for you? When you think you've arrived, it's just you've arrived to another class. And there's more to learn and grow. The Passion Translation. 2 Corinthians 5. We are convinced that even if these bodies we live in are folded up at death like tents, we will still have a God-built home that no human hands have built, which will last forever in the heavenly realms. We inwardly sigh as we live in these physical tents, longing to be put on a new body for our life in heaven, in the belief that once we put on our new clothing, we won't find ourselves naked. So while living in this tent, we groan under its burden, not because we want to die, but because we want these new bodies. We crave for all that is mortal to be swallowed up by eternal life. And this is no empty hope, for God himself is the one who has prepared us for this wonderful destiny. And to confirm his promise, he has given us the Holy Spirit like an engagement ring as a guarantee. Wow, I like that. That's why we've always, that's why we're always full of courage. Even while we're at home in the body, we're homesick to be with the Master. For we live by faith, not by what we see with our eyes. We live with a joyful confidence, yet at the same time, we take delight in the thought of leaving our bodies behind to be at home with the Lord. So whether we live or die, we make it our life's passion to live our lives pleasing to Him. For one day we will all be openly revealed before Christ on His throne, so that each of us will be duly recompensated for our actions done on life, whether good or worthless. Now, I do like the fact they say worthless, because sometimes say good or bad and people just put worthless, no value. Now, this is talking about, you know, living with the hope that one day you will be with the Lord. But one thing I want us to, I don't want it to focus on the fact, oh, one day we'll be with the Lord. Oh, one day we'll, but I want us to focus on the, on certain things. But living by faith and not by sight. And the fact that there's a guarantee of heaven. There's a guarantee, says the Holy Spirit, like an engagement ring, as a guarantee. So once you've given your life, you don't have to think, once we live by faith, once we live by the standards of Jesus, it's a guarantee. And I want us to also be realize that we should have a joyful confidence that God is with us. So, in all that we're doing, in all that's going, because we could turn on the news and you can get overwhelmed, but this is happening, what's going on, this is going on, that's going on, and it can consume. But I want you to think, right, okay, all those things are happening. I have a confidence in the Lord that He's not going to leave me nor forsake me. I have the Holy Spirit because I've given my life to the Lord as a guarantee that I'll make it to heaven. I have, you know, that it says, for one day we will be openly revealed. We will be openly revealed before Christ on His throne, so that each of us will be duly recompensated. Wow. We want to thank God. We really, really want to thank God for what He's doing, what He's done, what He's yet to do. I want us to have that joyful confidence in the Lord, not based on your situation or circumstance, but joyful confidence in the Lord. We're going to have a break and we're going to continue with this scripture. We'll be back after the break.
I don't know it in I do. We make you love me so daddy. No be say I too sappy. Yeah. But you love me constantly. Yeah. I don't know where I for day. If not be you the little way. Your grace and mercy not they feel. Lord, give the love consistently. This your love, it is all I want. This your grace, it's my one embrace. That deep bangala me see. My warm embrace, Daddy, back, let me see.
mercies is something true. It don't change on what I do. You stay the same always. Nothing can make you take your love from me. No one else deserves my praise. You come through for me on the hard days. Tell my story for one day. The only love that's it. Nothing could ever separate me from this your love. It's all I want. This your grace is my warm embrace. Daddy, if I can let me see, yeah. If I can let me see, yeah.
When I look around, all I see is your love. When I look around, all I see is your love. Welcome back to the Starbright program. Wow. I want us to really look around, you know, because there's so much going on. It's like, I tell you, it's inundated. Sometimes I think, this year we're in June. I'm not even sure how we got here. I feel sometimes someone has stolen some of the days. It just, the world just seems to be racing, you know. And just, we have to take that time to just embrace that when we look around, all we see is God's love. When you look around, just, you know, I remember the song, count your blessings, name them one by one. Count your blessings, see what God. But you know how many of us don't really count our blessings? We don't. And I want us to see, because those blessings are God's love for us. They are God's love for us. God's love. Immense love. Immense favor. All we see is his love. All we see is his love. Now we've gone back to 2 Corinthians 5. And we're going to verse 11. Since then we know what it is to fear the Lord. We try to persuade others. Now, that fear is not like you're frightened, you know, like you've watched a horror movie, you're that frightened. It's like a reverent respect. You know, a reverential respect, that you respect, you have that, what I call holy fear. Not fear that you're scared. No. And we try to persuade others. We want to encourage others to come to know the Lord. Now, everybody will say that, you know, people, it depends on what they believe, etc., etc. You know, give people time. But like I said before, we're not promised tomorrow. So we really need to try. And that doesn't mean chase them down. No, but let it be in your conversation. Let it be in your lifestyle. Let us represent Jesus in all that we do. What we are is plain to God. And I hope it is also plain to your conscience. We are not trying to commend ourselves to you again, but are giving you an opportunity to take pride in us so that you can answer those who take pride in what is seen rather than what is in the heart. If we are out of our mind, as some say, it is for God. Now, this is, and it says, if we are in our right mind, it is for you. Now, a lot of people in those days were looking at the disciples and were thinking, have they gone crazy? You know, is there an element of they've lost their mind? You know, there was Pentecost and some were seen speaking in tongues and it was like, but I can understand them, but I don't even know, how are they so learned? Some of them just seem to be acting in an odd way, but they were producing the results of that they had been with Jesus. And so it's here saying that some are accusing us of being out of our minds, as some say, but that is for God. Now, our pastor's always saying that, yes, I'm out of my mind. I want to be in the mind of Christ, the mind of Christ dwelling. I don't want to be in my own mind. Now, for some of you, you might be thinking, I don't really get that. Our minds can make suggestions that can lead us down a negative path. But when the mind of Christ is dwelling in us, the mind of Christ is filled with encouragement and positivity and wants to lift us up from that negativeness, from that self-doubt, pity, worthlessness, feeling that sometimes inadequacy, you know, all those feelings that you may feel occasionally, or sometimes some of you might feel it, it's there underneath the surface all the time. But with the mind of Christ dwelling, you get that lifting of the head. You get that, right, I am the head and not the tail. I am for signs and wonders. Meaning that you are able to do some things that has been almost said you can't do. Now, I'm not saying that you suddenly can, you know, you're a mechanic and you suddenly can operate on a person. No, not saying that. But you can, what is seemingly seems impossible, or people have limited you and say, no, I don't think God can make a way and a channel for you to do it. Now, some of you that know my story know that I'm carving a path right now. And really, it's a case of no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind can conceive. Now, God has that promise and he says that. So if we hold that in our mind, that instead of thinking, well, this is all that there is, if we go to that place, no, God, it says in the word, no eye has seen. So even what human beings have seen, no one has seen, no ear has heard, they have not heard this level of testimony, no mind can conceive, it's not been birthed in a mind what God has in store for me. And I want you to make it personal for me, not for you, not for me. And that then opens your mind to the possibilities. Now, what's going to come after your mind is open to the possibilities? Like, really, can you? Is that really? Maybe it was for the people of those days. All those suggestions, or how the enemy, he suggests. He's not changed his style from Eve. He suggests, is that what God really said? You know, is that what? And then Eve started to think. Now, going back into her mind. Now, we don't want to be just limited to our own thinking, because our own thinking can only lead us thus far. And I'll give a good example of this. Thank you, Holy Spirit. When you're in primary school, and you learned, you know, prime one, and you learned 1 + 1 = 2. You felt you'd mastered math. Do you remember that? Whoa, you came home and you told your parents 1 + 1 = 2. You walked with confidence. Then you got to primary 6 and 1 + 1 doesn't just equal 2. Because we can have some bracket. We can have some alphabets. And then if they told you there was alphabet and numbers went together in primary one, you'd have it'll have baffled your mind. But as you were leaving primary school, entering secondary school, you learned that there was a different aspect. There was a different aspect to maths. There was what was called algebra. And you thought, ah, what is this alphabet with numbers? And then now 1A plus 1B is now 22. How is that possible? You then learned a different aspect of it. Still the same math, but different aspect. So this is when we get what we know. All that we know is not all that there is. And this is what I'm trying to get across, that in your mind, that is all that you know, but that's not all that there is. You know, if you know how to play an instrument, there's someone else that knows how to play some different songs than you, and they might even play the instrument differently to you. You know, you can play a piano with all the keys, you can play a piano with just chords, you can all different things. You can put fillers in, but it's still playing the piano. So when we allow the mind of Christ to dwell in us, there's a richness that comes. We are not going to understand it because our minds are limited, because we try and then drag it into what we think and it then limits it. But I want us to be able to say, Lord, I release this, whatever it is, into your hands. I release, because we are growing. So what I knew when I was in my 20s is not the same thing that I know now I'm in the age that I am. Okay? It's not the same thing. Because with growth and development, you learn a new aspect. It's the same with the Lord. With growth in Him, you get a new experience and your mind begins to get a deeper understanding of no mind can conceive, because you then realize, wow, what was seemingly was impossible is now possible. I'll give another example. I was sharing with the worship leader this morning as we're going, and I think he kind of sometimes gets fed up of hearing the story of his beginnings, but I never get fed up of sharing the testimony of God. So he's going to hear it and hear it, and hear it, and hear it, till I've gone to meet the Lord. It's okay. It'll get used to it. So, I was sharing that about, you know, when I was, the pregnancy with him was very, we got to 20 weeks, and everybody, that time, you know, you do your 20-week scan, and you then, I felt, right, we're confident, we've passed halfway, we're now, let's go and look, you know, by then, mother care was still in operation. Some of you are going, mother who? There was a shop called mother care, and you could find everything to do for intended mothers, children up to 10, okay? It was all the rage. So went to mother care, bought some things, felt so happy. Then it went downhill. Couldn't see at one stage, couldn't hear at one stage. The doctors were trying all sorts, and they had to confess they hadn't seen this kind of thing before. So they were asking people from different specialists. Then this is where I tapped in to the Lord and say, Lord, what are you saying? God sent his word, and I just held on to it, regardless of what the body was going to do. I just believed, and hence the result, clearly we can see. They came up with suggestions when 23 weeks that, oh, you know what, you're fading, this is not going well, we're going to do all we can, let's remove the baby, and we'll just keep. Now, those of you that know 23 weeks, the baby doesn't tend to survive. But they were making it, and it seemed like a very wholesome suggestion, the state that I was in. Honestly, very wholesome. But this is where you have to hear from God. Get that download. Now, this is not for everybody, but once you get that download of no eye has seen, no ear, no mind can conceive, I got that download and I knew what I needed to do. I want us, and it was not limited by what, my faith was not limited by what I could see and hear. You know, as we said, for we live by faith and not by sight. I wasn't going to be limited by that. I said, God, you have to do it. And hence the result, the worship leaders here, clearly we can see. But you have to get that. So I want us to, as it says here, as it says in verse 7, we live by faith and not by sight. But we are, it says, if we are out of our minds, as some say, it is for God. Let it be for God, okay? Don't act on something if God has not said. Let me just put that out there. Because sometimes some people say, God, you didn't do. Who sent you on the message? We have to go on the message that God sends us, okay? For 14, for Christ's love compels us, because we are convinced that one died for all, and therefore all died. Okay, I want to go on because the time is going to 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ, and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Right, I want to read it in a different translation. Passion Translation. Now, if anyone is enfolded into Christ, he has become entirely a new person. I want you to ask the Lord to enfold you in him. You know, I imagine an envelope with a letter in. The letter's hidden. You can't see it. Okay. Some of you are thinking, huh? What an imagination. It's very useful. He has become an entirely new person. All that is related to the old order has vanished. Behold, everything is fresh and new. And God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself. Wow. Wow. God has made all things new and reconciled us to himself. So what is there that is limiting? What is a limiting factor in your life? What is there that you're there thinking, I don't know how I'm going to do this, don't know how. God is able. I want you to close your eyes and to listen for his voice. Meditate on his word that, Lord, I'm choosing to live by faith and not by sight. Lord, I'm choosing to be enfolded into you so that I become an entirely new person. Old things, old limitation, old belief system. It is a process, and God, you're taking me on this process, but every day there's a new way of thinking, new way of believing, new way of hoping, new way of seeing, new way, because Lord, everything that limited me is being removed one by one, because you are making a new way, a new path for me. I am committing myself, as that first song said, I have decided to follow Jesus, and I'm not turning back. I'm following you. I'm looking unto you, because you are the author and finisher of my faith. And as we've read here in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, you know that, for we live by faith and not by sight. Lord, I choose to live by faith and not by sight. I'm making a choice. I'm making a choice because, Lord, you are taking me from this level to another level, and I'm choosing to go to that other level because you are taking me on a journey. Thank you. Thank you for never leaving me nor forsaking me. Thank you for moving in my life. Thank you for the work that you're doing. Thank you, Father, my God. Lord, I'm going to be bold in you. I'm going to be bold in you because my confidence is not in my ability, but in you. My confidence is in you. Father and my God, I don't look at myself, but I look at you. I look at you, Father, my God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, King of Kings. Lord of Lords, I praise you. In the precious name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Now, we've come to the end of another exciting program. And I just want to ask anyone that has a comment, those of you that have my number, message me, those of you that wanted to have a song played, you know, please message me the song, send me the link to the song so that we can play on the program. Those of you that think, oh, I'd like us to study a particular scripture, let's have a share it and let's have a look and delve into it. Until next week, have a blessed and wonderful week, and bye for now. You are good.
How many of you are grateful today? Lift up your hands. Would you join us singing? Come on.